Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. With me is Demon teacher Eric. Eric, we've got an email here from Sam.
Sam says, Nathan, thank you for your trenchant, honest advice to LSAT students. Good vocab word there, huh? Yeah. Trenchant? I'm not sure I know what that means. I'll let you look it up.
Okay.
I am writing to get some advice regarding games. Although I would say that I am an intermediate level game player, I find that it's the one section of the exam that induces a massive amount of anxiety in me. I feel relaxed with arguments and love reading comp, but games just makes me sometimes panic, and I feel the need to use a bit of deep breathing to reset and focus. Please let me know what you advise. Respectfully, Sam.
Give it time, I guess. Don't shy away from it. Sam, you feel relaxed with the arguments and you love reading comprehension, but games make you panic sometimes, and using some deep breathing to reset and focus. I mean, that sounds like advice we would give somebody who is suffering from a little bit of games related anxiety. Games are going away. You know, you got two more administrations of the test, April and June, and after that, the games are no more. So if you just don't think you're ever going to get to perfection on the games, you could always just wait until August to study. But I would question, you know, are you perfect on LR? Are you perfect on RC? Because it's rare to perfect those two sections. It's actually really common to perfect the games. It's common to totally suck at the games, and it's common to perfect the games. And Sam, as an intermediate logic game player, you're halfway between sucking and perfecting it. And maybe you can perfect it by the time the April and or June test rolls around, and it could end up being the strongest section of your test. So if you're currently, like a lot of people do this, unfortunately, you know, they like the LR, they love the reading comp, so they do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the exact opposite of what we should be doing, which is spending more time on the stuff that we struggle with the most. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't skip leg day.
Yeah. You have any other advice for Sam?
Well, I would invite Sam to do a little introspection to see what about LR and what about RC do you enjoy?
Hmm.
Why do those feel fun, interesting to you? And can you find something in LG that taps into that? Like, for instance, I always say that the logic games are really just a test of reading comprehension.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole test is, but can you think of the games as first and foremost a reading comp test?
Mm-hmm.
Before you even pick up your pencil to do any diagramming.
Right.
Can you make it through that passage, right, and understand it one sentence, one word,
yeah,
at a time?
Figure out what's there and then, like, measure twice and cut once instead of the, and you might have learned this again, you might have learned it at some other LSAT prep where it's like, well, I'm going to read the first rule, I'm going to write down the first rule. I'm going to read the second rule, I'm going to write down the second rule. Okay, wait. Have you actually understood those rules? Have you thought about the rules? Or did you just, like, try to put it into some kind of a shorthand that you don't even understand? Are you being vague with the writing down of the rules, or are you being very clear about it? Did you even need to write that rule down? I mean, the rule says R must go second. Did you need to write that rule down, or could you have just baked R second into a one world solution to the game? So I treat it like reading comp first, and that means read everything, not the questions, but the setup part and all of the rules. Read all of that before you dive into any kind of a diagram at all. That should help you feel less panic, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to learn, like, your goal is, I'm going to understand everything and I'm going to learn at least one thing. I'm going to understand everything that's there, and I'm going to learn one thing that's not there, but is there because of the ways that these things interact with one another. I'm going to understand everything, and I'm going to make the first baby step toward a solution. then I'm going to write stuff down.
I would also remind you that diagrams, writing down, like you mentioned, Nathan, did you really need to write that rule down to right. understand it?
Right.
Diagramming is not an end in and no. of itself. It is right. a tool to aid your understanding. And I worry that a lot of people in the games, particularly based on what prep company they've been using, hopefully we're not giving this message across, but a lot of people feel like there is a right way to diagram.
Right.
That getting their diagram down in the correct way is yeah. like the first big goal. When right. it's not. It's looser than that. It's something that you get to control and use as a tool to aid in your own understanding of yeah. the game. And even if you screw up your diagram along the way, that's fine. Why? Because first, these are just words on a page, and mm-hmm. you know how to read words on a page. And yep. you can always just come back to that and reset to understand what's going on.
Yep. Rather than thinking like, oh, this is a ordering game, or thinking this is a grouping game, instead of that, you can just think, okay, well, there are these people. We're doing this operation with those people. Don't have to label it. Don't have to think about a solution in advance. Read each rule independently. See if the rules connect. Do this all in your head. And then just learn one thing about the way the world works. Then use that one thing you've learned to guide how you're going to start your setup. So where it's not like, oh, I'm applying a template that I know how to do grouping games. Rather, it's I've made an inference that Q can't go in the one of these groups. They didn't say it out loud, but because there were a couple rules that mentioned Q, or maybe just one rule that mentioned Q, it's going to rule out Q from being in this one spot. Okay, where can Q go? Huh. I've learned one thing about the game. I know that Q is kind of limited. Maybe I'll make worlds based on Q and see where that takes me. And think about the solutions rather than thinking about the like setup.
Totally. What does trenchant mean, by the way?
Trenchant? There's two definitions for trenchant.
Let me see if I can guess first.
Okay.
Thank you for your trenchant, honest advice. It makes me think of trench, like entrenched.
Like you're in the trenches.
Like you're in the trenches. Entrenched. Like you're. Yeah, like you're solidly there. You're not backing down.
Hmm. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know if that's
first definition, according to Google, is vigorous or incisive in expression or style. Example, she heard angry voices, not loud, yet certainly trenchant. Synonyms: incisive, cutting, pointed, piercing, penetrating, sharp, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And then of a weapon or tool, second definition, of a weapon or tool having a sharp edge, like a trenchant blade, which a bayonet in the trenches is not that far off of that.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. There could be a common root there.
Something.
Cool. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.